Hey everyone, this is Adriana, producer of The Skill Set. I just wanted to let you know that a new episode of The Skill Set is live, and you can listen anywhere you download your podcast. This new episode is with Solomon Renfro, a talented sneaker designer at New Balance, who shares his unique journey from studying interior architecture to becoming a footwear visionary. You don't want to miss this conversation.
My running joke is, it needs to be smaller than a conference room, bigger than a phone booth.
What could that be?
The private office.
There you go.
Yep, that's what we'll talk about today. The private office. So many of us have those early career private office memories, except, you know, the private office wasn't yours. It was your boss's. And maybe you were that one, sort of tiptoeing up to that private office door, giving it that little timid knock, hoping you're not disturbing them in some deep, important thought. But maybe that person really wasn't this serious, intimidating soul. But opening that door, stepping in, it just felt that way. It was like being called to the principal's office in school or something. So here's a memory that I've pulled up from an episode just this past January with David Polzin from Canon Design in St. Louis.
We were on the top floor of an office building down here in downtown St. Louis, overlooking the city and the arch grounds. It was, you know, an amazing view. And my mentor, George, he had a big corner office just outside of the studio where everyone sat. More real estate per square foot than anyone in the firm. And he had his drafting table because he didn't use a computer. And he had behind him all of his design awards sitting on a shelf, dozens of design awards for his work. And then he had this leather club chair that sat opposite his drafting table. And I'd be working late nights. We'd all be working late nights in the studio. The sun would have already set on the city. The city lights were up. You know, you could see them outside the window from the 25th floor. And, you know, he would open the door to his office and just step out, just a couple steps, and yell your name if he wanted. So I would hear, David. And, you know, you knew you were supposed to get up and go into the office. And he would sit there under the light of his desk lamp with trace sketches in front of him and his pen. And I'd sit down in the club chair. And he would start to describe an idea. And he would be moving his hand and completing the sketch as he would be talking about it. And sometimes these ideas were phenomenal, and other times they were just crazy.
But you didn't tell him that, though, did you?
I started to, over time, screw up the courage to say I don't know about that, George. I don't think this is headed in the right direction, which was kind of a terrifying thing to do. In many ways.
If you're 30 something or older, you've likely been there, right? In David's shoes. However, management style and boss-employee relationships and dynamics are totally shifting now. I would say newer generations may not have experienced that sort of timid, hierarchical vibe that's been kind of left over from decades before. But even though these relationships are changing and management styles are changing, the furniture really hasn't changed that much. I want to put you in the middle of a conversation that we were lucky enough to capture through a microphone, and it involves two of our favorite people, our own VP of Customer Experience, Molly Prier, who's been on the show before, and furniture designer and entrepreneur, Brian Graham. Molly has an incredible ability to put emotions into words. It's Molly's disappointment in the private office that led her to Brian. And if you followed the show, You know that Brian has had some very entertaining episodes as a guest on IAP. I'll drop those links in the notes. He's been designing furniture for decades. He's got some of the industry's most notable products. All right, I've set the stage. Now I want to throw you into this office space where Brian and Molly sat down in front of a small impromptu audience for a conversation about the private office and where they plan to take it.
Molly, may I call you Molly?
Yes.
What inspired? What do you think was it that inspired you to write that brief about the private office of the future?
I think one thing for a long time that I was struggling with was that our world was changing so drastically. Our jobs were changing, the world as we knew it was changing. The idea of how we managed people was changing, yet our offices weren't changing. It felt like the private office was still so structured. It was pretty stagnant in what it offered as far as, it was kind of a one job, one function environment. And it was very hierarchical in nature. I guess it was a lot of the emotion that came with the pandemic and starting to understand my own feelings for things. Is I started to notice how insecure I felt sitting on the other side of the desk. I didn't feel like when I sat in the office with even peers that I felt like I had the same voice in the conversation. It felt very uncomfortable. So I found myself wanting to meet in other areas that were more comfortable, more set back, more casual, more where we felt like there wasn't this barrier, this like physical barrier between us that kind of dictated who was the important person in the meeting. I feel like, you know, this whole one voice type of environment needed to really be looked at. It was just how to bring something like that to life and what was that going to be, which is why, you know, I'd reached out to you and said, Brian, help me understand like how this visually comes to life. So
I think from my perspective, when you shared that with me, I think the first things we did is you took me through your office, right?
Yeah.
'Cause your office was set up as a kind of a first response, almost like an alpha site for this idea, right?
That's true, yeah.
And how do you want to be perceived? And how is this our space, not just my space, right?
Yes.
And so showing me that was really helpful because I could see, I think, what you were trying to do. And then thinking about it, going back through then the brief that you gave me. And, you know, we always laugh about briefs, right? Like, how brief can the brief be? What's the old joke now? It's not a brief now. It's a design thong. So it's a minimal amount of information. But you actually wrote really passionately. And my sense was it came from the heart about this lack of soul, of a desire for empathy and a desire for working beside me, not across from me.
Yeah.
Right?
We talked about that because it was when I was in a shared office and when somebody would come in to speak with me, I turned to them. And there wasn't a barrier between us and it felt like much more equal in the conversation and so much not of talking to somebody, but talking with someone.
Right.
And that's what we want to encourage a lot more of in these offices, but they just don't offer that in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So my sense was that from that, I read that through, and then I read it again, and then I decided to sort of pull out, I guess what I'm going to call pull quotes, right? And the way I worked was I literally printed them out, and I pinned them up at my wall, and I just started thinking about, okay, what does that stuff mean? It didn't talk about style. It didn't talk about features. It didn't have it has to be this size, or right? It was just this emotion. And I started to draw, and I started to think about what is something like this maybe going to look like. And then I remember the first time I presented it back to you, and I don't know if I had an expectation for there to be, oh, yeah, this is it. It was more like almost a read and react. I've read what you've said, and now here's my initial reaction. Are we anywhere close, right?
Yeah. And for me, It was such a moment of relief because even just seeing the initial like thought process you went through, you know, pulling out the quotes, having these inspiration images, and then followed with these sketches that weren't anything, you know, dictating exactly what it was going to look like. But I felt so felt from what you read. Like, I knew that you read that and you thought about, you know, what was being said. I, without knowing that you pinned up the different quotes in the brief and reread it, like, it was just a lot of, like, passion in my inside that I didn't really know what I was even asking for, except I wanted to take a stab at trying to disrupt the formality and this top-down management style. I wanted more of a we environment. I wanted more where people felt like they could be valued, bring their whole self, really feel like they could, you know, open up to their to the people that they're sharing an office with and have it be multi-use and have it be, you know, it's all, it was all these things. And I really think what you came with really answered it in such, which we didn't have to go back round or round or round. It was just this beautiful way of solving in this very soft, leading with the soft, filling in with the hard. That was one of the briefs or one of the kind of quotes that you had brought out. And I think that that sometimes offices can and private offices can feel so rigid and stale and stagnant and hard.
I'm really excited about where this is going to go. And I'm also hoping that the product answers some of those questions, but potentially provokes some new questions.
Yes.
Right?
Well, and that's what I think is so exciting about this product is the conversations that are going to get sparked from it. Right? Really trying to have people dig a little deeper and not go into this kind of uniformity, this kind of sea of sameness as we speak to this, fall back into the same norms that don't really create a more inclusive environment. Really just having those questions be thrown out there. Is this a safe place? Is this, you know, changing the landscape? Is this allowing for different types of conversations and relationships to be, you know, fostered? And I think the office has the opportunity to do that. And a lot of these conversations that need to be deep and need to be supported need to happen behind a closed door. And so this is the opportunity to really have an environment that really, really supports that better than it ever has. And you can't, you know, do that when there's disruptive, you know, elements between you and the manager or the, you know, the leader, whoever it is that you're having those conversations with.
That was about 42 minutes of stuff.
It's pretty good.
It's very good.
Very good.
I'd like to answer in the voice of Kevin Costner from Yellowstone. Molly, this furniture is going to be around a lot longer than you, me, or the ranch. And if you don't believe me, go see Rip. And he'll dump you in the canyon. That's what we do with people who don't like us.
And scene.
Now you can drop the mic.
For more design stories, visit us at ofs.com/imagineaplace. From OFS, I'm Doug Shapiro. Thanks for listening.